It's not something that you do, it's what you are. And whenever that was made revelation to me that we're the kingdom of God, things like our giveaway means that much more to me. I had a good time yesterday. Even though Brother Johnny revealed to me, and then I got kind of, Sister Teresa got a little bit, well, not mean, but she threatened me a little bit, said my bodyguard wasn't there, April wasn't there, I better behave. But I know it's all in good fun. And I appreciate and love each and every one of y'all, but I'm really glad. I was telling Brother Scotty earlier, being raised in church like I was taught about salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. I was taught about, you know, having faith in God. I was taught about witnessing to others and bringing other people to Jesus. But everything I've learned in the last 9 years as of this month, I've learned here. I've learned out of the Word of God, backed up with Scripture out of the Word of God. And I'm really, really grateful for it. This morning, I need to put a title on this. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit again. One of His names and ministries, the living water. And I want to say this before I start. God has given everything to the Son, all power. And it's only when you or me bring glory to the Son that Holy Spirit works in our life. Jesus Christ must be publicly and privately acknowledged and exalted in our life for our anointing to work in our life. Take God's written word, speak it to Holy Spirit, and ask the Lord, and God will reveal everything to you that He has in store for you and me and everybody. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 7, starting in verse 37. We're going to read verse 37 through 39. And then, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake, he of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For Holy Spirit, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Father God, for your word, Lord. For this opportunity, Father, to come together and serve you, Lord, and worship you and exalt you, Lord. And lift up the name of Jesus. Help me today, Lord, I submit myself to you, Father God, Lord, to speak with clarity and, Father God, and understanding. Lord, hide me, Lord, that you may be exalted and Jesus lifted up. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now, first part of verse 37, it says, "In that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying," Jesus is talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. And you have to do a little bit of studying to go into it, because I had to last night. I mean, if I just say the Feast of Tabernacles, what does that tell y'all? That's what it told me. So, the Feast of the Tabernacles, you'll find in Leviticus. I had it written down here. Chapter 23, 39 through 44. I'm not going to go real deep into that. Basically, what it means is, God told the children of Israel to have this feast, this holy remembrance of Him, as He led them out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, and into the wilderness. He was their sustainer. He was their source. They relied on Him for water. They relied on Him for their sustenance. And they did. There was times that they faltered, but He supplied for them. He was their source. I'm not going to say only source, because they didn't have no other source. He was their source. Their faith in Him is their power. Their faith in God as Him being their source got them through that until they got to the place where, of course, they didn't keep their faith strong. And they cried out, and we all know the story about that. But the Feast of the Tabernacles is a holy remembrance of the times that God sustained them on their journey in that wilderness. And the actual details of it is, I didn't go real deep into it, the priest pour water on the feast, but God instructs the children of Israel to live in tents after. Now, you can go all the way up to the book of Nehemiah. They found these scriptures in their old scriptures that they stumbled across in the book of Nehemiah. And God instructs them to live in booths, B-O-O-T-H-S, which translated as tents, because that's what they lived in whenever they were going through the wilderness. They were on their journey to the promised land. Now, we're on a journey. And the reason that Jesus picked this time is not ironic. In our language, word ironic means, oh man, it's odd that you should say that just about this time. Like, you might come up to somebody and say, hey man, you need a loaf of bread? You might be thinking, I need a loaf of bread. That's ironic. And we might call it weird, odd, whatever. But it's not ironic that Jesus stood up and did this. He had a purpose for it. Because this feast was about remembering a holy time, a holy remembrance that God supplied water for the physical body to the children of Israel for them to make it through their journey. Now, it says in the last part of verse 37, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. We're on a journey. What is our journey? From salvation to glory. We're born again because of our realization of our position of sin and our sinful position in the world, where we're born into sin in the world. And a lot of us, most of us, sinned before we got born again. And we repent of that. And repentance, as I've said before, and a lot of other folks in this church have said, is an outwardly seen change that you have asked Jesus to come into your heart, to give you your sins and your sinful position, and you want to live with Him and for God. That's your journey. Now, lost folks don't realize this because they don't know they're thirsty. How do you know you're thirsty? When you see a person, they're living a life of discontent, frustration, confusion, and constant failure. Their spirit is thirsty. And I'm going to use the word spirit in place of the word soul. Lost people don't realize their spirit is thirsty for God. God created man for that reason. Man messed it up. Man keeps living in the world until he comes to the living water, until they know Jesus. Now, after we're born again, we're on this journey. We have passed over through salvation. We're born again. And we're on a journey to glory. So it's twofold. The lost need to come to the realization of salvation and accept Jesus Christ and taste that the Lord is good with living water. The born again folks have to realize that there's only one thing that's ever going to not quench but keep that thirst from happening in the rest of your life. That's the living water that Jesus is talking about. And I like what it says here. It says, if any man thirsts, it's twofold, as I said, let him come. If you come to Jesus, then what did it say? And drink. Drink is an action word. It's called a verb. Give you a little English lesson here. Drink is an action word. It's got a whole lot of stuff involved in it. Now, we're going to go to, let me redress that. In verse 38, it says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, notice Jesus said, as the scripture hath said. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. Now, I got to reading about this, and Brother Scott has preached on this a lot, thankfully. I was telling him earlier, you know, the stuff that I've learned in this church, even though I went to church for a long time in my life, I didn't learn what I've learned here. And I thank God He gave me the opportunity to have a place to learn in His kingdom. Now, if you take this chapter in context, Isaiah is speaking to the children of Israel about fast. And God is speaking to the children of Israel through Isaiah about fasting. But to tie it together, the verse I'm talking about is verse 11 that goes to the John chapter 7 and verse 38. It says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not." Now let me read that in the Amplified. "And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your soul in scorched and dry places and give you strength to your bones. And you will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." Now when we're born again, we shouldn't have the same kind of thirst in our soul for this living water that lost folks have. We should have a thirst that there's more to life, born again life as believers, and God's word says so. Sister Teresa's been teaching it to us. Than salvation, and that's it. Although we get with our salvation healing, prosperity. I'm going to read you something else I found too about Brother Scott and his prosperity preaching. Thank you, brother. It's in the Word. Although it's not my message today. But if you want the prosperity, how does it say you get it? Jesus said, "Have you not heard what the Scriptures hath said? Out of his belly, he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow living waters." Now, although chapter 58 in Isaiah is talking about fasting, if you want to help get into context, we're reading the Word, right? What is the Word? John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God." So God is telling the Israelite people here, although this is an Old Testament about fasting, if you'll do the fast, this is what's going to happen. Do the fast that I want you to do. So that's God's Word speaking to us. I'm going to take a few minutes here and read. We're going to start in chapter 6. I'm going to read in Amplified in Isaiah 58. And God's talking to the Israelites through Isaiah, and he's saying this, "Rather, is this not the fast which I choose? To undo the bonds of wickedness, to tear to pieces the ropes of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and break apart every enslaving yoke. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not to hide yourself from the needs of your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your healing, restoration, new life will quickly spring forth. Your righteousness will go before you." And I told Brother Scott, I said, "Look what I found. Leading you to peace and prosperity." Now Jesus said, in John chapter 7, verse 38, "Have you not read the Scriptures?" I'm going to say it in my own words. Where it says, "He that believeth on me shall have living water flowing out of it." And God's saying, although he's talking about fasting, he said, "Here's your living water." Because this is the Scripture that Jesus is talking about. Now Jesus, like I said, in the beginning of this, me speaking, I told you he was speaking in the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus is also referring to the power of the living water. The only ones that can experience the living water is the born again. The lost experience through salvation, the born again believing, experience it through their daily mind renewal, word renewal lives. Now, you notice in verse 37, Jesus said, "If anyone," anyone. That means that there's enough for everybody. He included anyone. Now, to give you an idea of what the Lord revealed to me, when Jesus speaks, especially as we see in the Bible, red letters, when he's speaking and ministering, Jesus is talking about, because Jesus is John 1:1. He was there in the beginning. He was there through the creation. He was there all the way through the Old Testament, all the way up to his born and being born as a man in ministry to this day, he says this. And he's talking about afterwards, all the way up to this day. That's the context of what he's saying. And he's talking about if anyone from that day to this day, that means there's plenty for everybody. It'll never run out. It'll never run dry. What did it say in Isaiah 58:11? Continually. And then the next part he says, to let him come. The word says no man comes to the Father except the Father draw him. Now, once again, I remember I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. He is living water. But whenever God draws us to him, and when you're lost and you reject that drawing, there's a price to be paid for it. It's called hardness of the heart. When you're born again and God wants to draw you closer to him, and there's a price to be paid for it. It's called unpowerful life. More or less blessed life. A non-prospered life. A life that can be summed up, and you know you're born again, you love going to church, you love seeing the folks, but what you're doing is you're taking the living water and you're trying to get you a fix, so to speak, with other stuff in your life. It could be people, it could be friends, it can even be religion. Number one, that's the reason I read what I read to start when I first started. To keep this from happening, being born again, a born again believer needs to always have Jesus exalted in his life, privately and publicly. What does that mean? Well, I'll take me. We started the church here. Publicly, you see me go to church. Privately at home, I had my misgivings and failings. And until I got more of the living water in me, those misgivings and failings prevailed. The reason they prevailed is because I was not feeding my spirit. I was not letting Holy Spirit lead me with his gift of living water. Now the rest of the time I talk today, I'm going to talk to the folks that's thirsty for this. If there's anybody here, anybody hears my voice. I was thirsty for the living water. I was not taught about receiving the Holy Ghost and manifested speaking in tongues. And when I got it right here at this altar where I was born again, it was a glorious day. My life started changing. Because now there's another thing inside of me that's springing up. Guess what it is? It's living water. And it's drawing me closer and closer to God. Now, I can hinder that. Remember, I had spoke before, I believe it's in Ephesians, I wrote it down, but I don't remember where I wrote it down on my papers, about grieving the Holy Spirit. He is a sensitive person. If you grieve the Holy Spirit, it's hard as a born-again Christian to know when he's leading you into that living water. And you can do it with all sorts of things, or the omission of things. Now, we all know if you're born again and you go out and try to live like the world, if you really got born again, and the reason I say this is because I come from a different aspect. I thought I was born again. I know now I really wasn't. So far in my life, what I thought I was backslid, I was not backslid. I know that. I understand that if somebody's born again, they know they're born again, and something happens and they fall away and they don't serve God like they used to, they have hindered and grieved the Holy Spirit, and the living water does not flow in their life. Now, that's not to say they have not experienced the Holy Spirit. But if you don't keep Jesus first and foremost in your life, Holy Spirit can't work in your life because you hinder Him, you grieve Him. And as I said, Jesus was talking about the power of the Holy Spirit whenever He spoke in verse 38. He said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." That's, man, when I read that, I got that same feeling again. Because you know what happened to me? I can only speak for me because I know about me. And I've said it before. God had a journey for me on my way to glory. Did I picture myself doing what I'm doing and doing the things I'm doing now? No, I didn't even think that far ahead. Come to church, got born again. You know, my background is music, guitar, I'm on the praise team. That looks kind of, you know, okay, that goes along. But that wasn't enough. And here. Now, did I feel lost like I did, or, you know, some kind of emptiness like I did before I was born again? No, I never felt that. I didn't ever want to turn back. But there was something that I wasn't full. My spirit had not drank enough living water. So now I find out for me to drink enough living water, I have to get God's Word in me. Every time that I go forward in God's Word, two things happen. I get attacked and I get blessed. And the blessing always overrides the attack. Always. It don't always come when I want it to or how I want it to, but it always is better. What attack? You know, I'm like Brother Scott here. Come on, devil. What? Knock you all the way back yonder. Now, when the next attack comes, sometimes I'm like, oh, Lord, okay, devil, come on, boy. You know, I have to pull myself together. I got to remember there's something inside of me called He, Holy Spirit, that is living water, that has got the same lordship as the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of God Himself. Praise God, that nothing can come against. But when it does come against me, it will not be victorious. I have to remind myself of that. You know, sometimes I think the Lord let Sister Teresa have these 14, 15 weeks of sowing the Word just for me. Because I don't want, oh, praise God, I got to get around that too. We'll go to it right now. Let's go to Luke 6:8. Yeah, about 12 o'clock last night, I couldn't wake April up and tell her this. She's asleep. She had a rough week, so I didn't want to mess with her. Get my notes together here, praise God. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 8, verse 6. I get excited sometimes. Now, I ain't going to have to give y'all no context to this, surely. Okay, we're going to read verse 6. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Praise God, where does moisture come from? Water. I read that and I was like, oh Lord, thank you. I got living water. I ain't going to lack moisture if I don't let it. It's up to me. It's up to y'all. It's up to us. And I was studying, I said, I'm going to write this down now. You know, and I know how to study academically. Y'all might not think so, but I was pretty good in school. I'm not bragging. I mean, I could read something once, take a test about it in 2 weeks, and the only time I failed in school was I was in ninth grade, and I didn't do nothing but just party and have a good time. And I liked to fail it, and my daddy said, if you fail, boy, you're going to lose that car. You know what happened in the 10th grade? I doubled up on everything. But anyway, I know how to study, and I'm sitting here studying academically with my head. And I read, I don't remember where it was at, I run across, you remember Sister Teresa talks about your reference study system in your Bibles? Use it. I run across that in my Scofield Bible. It's got a Scofield study system. It's a King James Version Bible. And it got back to Luke 8, verse 6, and I read that, and I tell you what, I just shut everything. I said, that's it. right there. I had about three more sentences right there, and we'll get to in a minute. Lord, have mercy. Living water. Can you just imagine that? Living water. Our water that we drink for our physical body is life to the physical body. If you want to know how powerful it is, do without it for about a week. You want to know how powerful living water is? Praise God, live all your life thinking you was born again and you're going to be okay. But then this hits you and this hits you. What if, what if, what if? And the Lord keeps sustaining your physical life and lets you live the way you want to live until in 2014 you come to this church and give Him your life like you're supposed to have done years ago and didn't and wasted it. I'm not proud of that. I think about that. And sometimes I know I've already repented of it, and I just do it because of my humanity and my physical aspects. I say, Lord, I'm sorry. And the Lord says, you already said that. I said, I know, Lord. So you know what happens? Woo! Living water happens again. My soul, my mind, will, and emotion sometimes thinks, boy, you better quit asking for that. But then my heart takes me back to a month before my daddy died. And he told me, he said, son, he said, they've done all for me they can do. And he knew. And I told him, I said, Daddy, I'm believing you're going to be healed. He said, okay. He said, I know how you believe, son. And he said, I'm not going to speak against it. But he said, that's not what I believe. That's not what I think. And I'm telling him, Daddy, you got to believe it. You got to have faith. And I'm talking to my daddy. He's back in God's will and has been preaching on the radio and preaching in church for quite a few years. After he preached 20-something years in his younger life and been in evangelism, I'm trying to tell him, Daddy, I need you to have faith to believe. Now God's word says believe, I want you healed. Anyway, he said, I understand, son. You're right. Believe like God's word says to believe. But he said, I want you to know I'm not going to be on this earth much longer. My daddy went through a lot of battles with diseases. That's a whole other thing. But anyway, he told me, he said, I already talked to the Lord. And he said, I don't know the day or the time, but he said, I'm not going to be here a lot longer. And he had asked me to come up there and see him. And he said, I want you to come see me one more time because he said, I don't know where my mind's going to go. He said, I'm praying and believing it's going to stay good till the end, and it pretty much did. And I said, okay, Daddy. And I sat there and talked to him a little while and I had been studying and reading an Old Testament about the blessing. The oldest son blessing. It's scriptural for fathers to bless their children, all of them, even the daughters. But the oldest son gets the double amount because he's the oldest, he's the firstborn son. And I know it was the Holy Spirit said, ask him to bless you. Because my daddy never had. Now, it wasn't because my daddy didn't want me to. He prayed for me all this time that I was out there running around searching for something, which you'll never find but one place in the living water. And once you get it, you won't find it anywhere else but in the living water. So the Holy Spirit says, ask him to pray for and give you his blessing. And I remember reading about Jacob praying for all of his sons. So I asked him, I said, Daddy, I'd like for you to pray for me and give me your blessing. I said, I'm not going to believe this is the last time I see you. And it wasn't the last time I seen him, but it was the last time we got to talk and, you know, be father and son. And we talk about the Bible. We always like to talk about the Bible or past stuff about the Bible. He said, well, that's scriptural. And I said, I got a request. And I said, because my daddy had a gift. And not for me. It's not that I want to be great in any man's eyes, but I want to be great for the Lord in God's eyes. My daddy had a gift for some stuff. I'm not going to go into it. And I said, Daddy, I want you to pray for me and bless me. And I'm going to ask you to pray to the Lord to give me your gift and pass it on to me. And I thought he was going to cry. My daddy didn't. Boy, my daddy was tough. He only cried twice in his whole life that I knew of. And it wasn't because he chopped the end of his finger off one day and taped it up and went back to work. But I thought he was going to cry, because, and I know why it moved him. So he prayed for me. my life started changing, not immediately. It wasn't anything I seen overnight, but I had something inside of me here that was wanting. Living water. He, Holy Spirit, was working in my life. So I finally, you know what? I finally listened closer to the word that's been preached and taught here and opened up myself and I said, Lord, here I am. Whatever. You know, I've got my own ideas. I'm not going to even go into that. What I think, you know, I'd like to do and do this and do that. And I tried to go on some of them routes and it didn't always pan out. So I just said, Lord, here I am. Use me. I feel like I got more that I can do. I want whatever. If this is all you got for me to do, help me be the best there is at it. But if you got more for me to do, here I am. And it's coming. It's already come. Some of it's already come. I get the glorious opportunity to stand up here at least the last Saturday every month and the second Saturday every month, talk to the men and pass on the revelation that God's given me in my life. And to say what he gives me to say about him and his word. Now when you get this living water, my wife, all of us are examples. My wife April is a great example. She hadn't been born again very long and she went to her sister's house and they had some friends over. I wasn't there, she was telling me about it. Now this is the girl that we was at practice one day and I asked her to bring me something and she turned about three shades red just walking up here. She's really, really on the inside. She's really shy. I mean, to the point of she'll get nauseous. But she was talking to these people at her sister's house and she started witnessing to them. I remember what she told me because her sister seen the change in her. She used to use drugs. She used to have a lifestyle like you could imagine. I mean, she wasn't like a really, really bad person. But, I mean, you know, a lifestyle of sin, just like me or you or anybody else. She was a good person. But she hadn't been raised in church. The church that she had attended sometimes, from what she told me, is religion. But I'm not down in them. I'm praying that they find Jesus in the living water of the Holy Spirit. But she was witnessing these people. And I remember her telling me that it was a couple there with her sister, and the guy said, that's some good stuff right there. And he said it. That is the best stuff right there. Because the living water had worked in her life, that people had seen a change in her. And she didn't stop there. You know how come she plays the keyboard? Brother Scotty in a ministry meeting said one day, we need somebody to play the keyboard. She don't know nothing about a keyboard except the sound it makes. And she, I remember her doing it. And I'm looking at her and I said, okay, I'm finding something out I didn't know. The living water was working in her life. She wanted more. Now, it's not just things like that. It's in God's Word, too. Because I find out in my life, when I let Holy Spirit work in my life the way God wants Him to work in my life, by honoring Him, obeying the word of God, submitting to the authority over me in the kingdom of God in our church, and doing what God tells me to do and being obedient, the living water, if it could possibly just feel stronger, that's the only way I know to say it. Praise God. You know, I've said it before. Of all the things that's happened to me in the last 9 years, not one single time have I ever thought, and I'm going to stand on this, I have not one single second thought, Lord, I'm done. I was better off before. Now, I'm not bragging on me. The difference is I've been down yonder without Him. I experienced the life of frustration. Why can't anything ever go right? I've experienced the life of discontent. I've had guitars and houses and motorcycles and trucks and this and that. But I always wanted something else. If I rode my motorcycle, I'm going to ride it more. Now, the guitar thing, if I play it, I still like to play it, but that's not take precedence over my Holy Spirit. But I have contentment now. I don't have a life of frustration. I have frustrating times in my life. But praise God, whenever living water, Holy Spirit gets inside of you, I don't mean this the way it sounds, but I can't understand how a person may get or does get what the Lord give me and can walk away from it. Now, I'm not saying that being judgmental. My mind can't wrap around it, because I feel good is an understatement. I mean, this is something that I ain't never had in my life, but I get it every day. Now, the boys might not think so. Sometimes they think I'm real grumpy, but I'm just trying to lead them in the direction where I'm at. Sometimes I get too forceful at it, I know, but I want them to be where I'm at in life. I know I can't make them. I want to, but I can't. But praise God, I can keep them in the environment until they listen. The Holy Spirit give them that living water. Now, breathe a second here. So I said in verse 38, let me back over to John. Got one more verse, and I ain't got but a few minutes. And it says in verse 39, but this he spake, meaning Jesus, of the Spirit, meaning Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For Holy Ghost was not yet given. Now this, the Lord showed me this last night. Because that Jesus was not yet glorified. If you want being born again, if you come to Jesus and you've experienced salvation through the taste of the living water and had faith in Jesus and been born again, and you want to move forward, it's another reason I read what I read at the beginning. What does that last part of that verse say? Because that Jesus was not yet glorified. If you have something inside of you that you want this living water more and more and more, if it's possible to ever have, I mean, I don't know another way to explain it. But if you want it, you're going to have to glorify Jesus. If you don't glorify Jesus, you're hindering it. That's what. Even though the verse is talking about, Jesus has not, you know, done all he's had to do on the earth yet. It still applies to us today. If you do not glorify Jesus publicly and privately, those two have to go together. Anybody, if they want to, can come to church and privately glorify Jesus. Now, if you do it private enough, nobody in the world might even not even know you're a Christian, born again. That's the reason the publicly is in there. Does that mean you got to go scream every single second, Jesus, I love you, No, not unless God tells you to. But when the opportunity comes, don't back away from it. And the reason I tell you this is because I used to witness to people a long time ago, and I would have to push myself to do it. You know why? I was walking in act. Jesus was not glorified in my life. Even though I was trying to do it, it wasn't working. I would push myself to do it. You know how long pushing lasts for me? About a year. Well, after my dad got out of church and we quit going and I got to be an adult, the longest I could serve God for anybody that could look and tell, church service or doing this or whatever, was a year at a time twice. That's all I was able physically in my own power to give to God before I give up, said, I don't want this. Or maybe I didn't say I want it, but I don't remember ever having a physical thought, I don't want, I ain't going, I just stopped. I don't have that no more. You know why? Because I don't like moisture. And I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on Jesus. I'm bragging on the Holy Spirit. Jesus left the earth and sent the Holy Spirit to us. He didn't leave us. He sent us someone else. There's a big difference. Now, I want to read you something. What did I do with that? This one, but here it is. Beth, would you put up Luke? Can you put up Luke 8, chapters, verse 6 and 13, just those two verses? Okay. Now, we read this a while ago. And some fell upon rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Now, verse 13, please. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. You're born again, and you let temptation and anything else get in your way to keep you from glorifying Jesus in your life, publicly and privately, you're going to lack moisture. Now, in Luke 8 and 6, we just read. Now, 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, please. How do we increase that? We've been hearing it for 14 weeks. If we hadn't got it yet, the Lord will have to tell Sister Teresa when to stop. I'm not going to by no means. But the Lord will know, and you better pay attention because we're in times, folks. Let me throw something out here to you real quick. If you didn't have Brother Scott and Sister Teresa and that projector right there and this book right here and the app on your phone, how much do you know? How much do you know? I'm talking about me too. How much do we know? Praise God. I'm telling you. I mean, it needs to be happening all for decades and thousands of years, but in these times and days today, you never know what's going to happen as far as what the world's going to do. Now, I know what's going to happen according to God's Word. But how do we get the increase? How do we get more moisture? Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. How did he give the increase? John 1:1, please. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's how God gives us our increase. Now, Jesus was the Word. He came to earth. And what did he do? He preached the Word. He spread the Word. He taught the Word. Now, John chapter 15, verse 26, please. And now Jesus has done the will of the Father. He's been through the death that paid the blood price for sin. He was buried as a man, and the power of God, he was resurrected and rose again. He ascended to the Father and is glorified. Before he went, he said this, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now, if the Holy Spirit has to testify of Jesus, don't you think we do? And now, we're in here in John chapter 7, 37 through 39, where I just showed you in God's Word, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that we already know that He is, Jesus sent, Jesus sent from the Father. And Jesus says right here, He is the living water. And whoever believes on me shall have in him this living water, shall spring forth speedily. And what will happen, just like in Isaiah chapter 58, when God's talking to the people about the fast. Well, Jesus is talking about it. If you have the living water, it's going to spring up inside of you continually, and it's going to bring you what Isaiah chapter 58, God said will happen. Peace and security and prosperity and righteousness. Righteousness being the foremost through Jesus Christ our Lord. How can we not be happy about it? Well, I had something else to read, but I'm going to not run over today like I did last week. John chapter 17, verses 17 through 25. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to even read it right now. You guys go read that. I thank God every day. I've made it a habit to thank Him for the day, to thank Him for His blessings. And I thank Him for Jesus, and I thank Jesus for sending the Holy Spirit. Because through the Holy Spirit, we receive our living water. When the Word is sowed in our hearts, if we receive it and we do right with it, we won't like moisture. That's all I got this morning. Anybody got anything they'd like to say?